Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, brethren. Hallelujah. It's about the mind of man. So we are going to start from the book of Genesis to look at it. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. It reads, "And the Lord God made the man, saying of every tree of the garden, thou mayest eat, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Amen. So here, God had come to tell man who has been made not to die and had given him this command. Of course, in chapter 3 of Genesis, let's quickly turn to it. Man failed. Genesis 3, 5 and 6. "So for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Amen. This is a fruit, the result of disobedience. Man was created to live forever. But because of disobedience, now we are going to look at how did the disobedience come? The disobedience came firstly by hearing, by seeing, and by feeling. The woman listened to the devil and gave her a reason to disobey God. And she saw that the fruit was good for her to eat. And she said that the fruit itself was good. She had a feel that it was a food of fruit that is desirable for one to eat. And man fell. So man got out of the way of God. And this is the reason why Jesus Christ came. And when Jesus came, he came with this singular purpose to bring man back to life. Now the question is, when Jesus came, did he actually finish this assignment of bringing man to life? Did he finish his work on the cross of Calvary? I think the answer is yes. If it is yes, why is man's mind still memorizing, remembering, and thinking about death? Now, in one other scripture, we will quickly look at it. I will not waste time. We'll quickly look at it. Romans 5. Romans 5, 14 to 17. Romans 5, 14 to 17. And it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, talking about Jesus, but not as the offense. So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. In other words, the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ brought man to life. Is it true in my heart that Jesus has brought me back to life? Is it in my conduct? Is it in my activities that I am unto life? This is the problem with man. Now, let us quickly also look at Hebrews 2. That is 14. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. It reads, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Brethren, till today, the devil threatens mankind with death. So man is afraid of death. But Jesus has delivered man from death. He said that he that believeth in him will never die. In fact, in one scripture he asked, believest thou this, that if you believe in me, you will never die? Man's mind has a problem. We have the problem of believing the natural things that we see. And we have not comprehended the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has accomplished is yet to sink into man. So man is always thinking about that. And this issue was made very clear in the case of Lazarus. When Lazarus died, and he came and told them, Martha particularly, that her brother will live again. She said, yes, but in the day of resurrection. But he said, I am the resurrection. In other words, in him there is life. And before then, what did he tell the disciples that were with him? Let us go, for our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Why did he not use the word dead? He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. So the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ sleeps. Believers do not die. So our friend Lazarus sleepeth. So the language is not death, because death is separation from God. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are never separated from God. So the believer has life. But this life, man has not believed in his heart. It has not gone in that that is the truth. It has not registered in man's mind. Please forgive me, we'll read just a few other scriptures. Let's quickly turn to Isaiah 25, verse 8. Isaiah 25, verse 8 says, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people, for the Lord has spoken it. This is Isaiah speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Brother, what chapter is that again?
Isaiah 25.
25. Okay.
Yes, Isaiah 25, verse 8. Yes. So Jesus came, and according to the scriptures, that his enemies shall be put under his feet, and the last enemy will be death. Christ on the cross of Calvary died, was buried, and he resurrected. By these actions, death was put under his feet. But you and I are still waiting for death to be put under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been accomplished already by the works of the cross. So the last enemy, which is death, has been dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. But my mind has not accepted it. So I still think about death. And what God is telling me is, I must change my mind. I must have a renewed mind. A mind that is after the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not taking too much time, let's quickly turn to Hosea 13, 14. Hosea 13, verse 14. It reads, says the sorrows, no, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. Praise God. Now, when we look at it, we know that Jesus Christ accomplished the work for which he came. And the last enemy, death, was actually defeated. That is why the scripture records that death could not hold him captive. He overpowered and defeated death. This is one of the major functions of major works that Jesus did that you and I must have in our minds always. Because he has delivered us from the fear of death. That is why when a believer has headache, the next thing is the fear of death. If he has pain in his arms, he thinks about death. Brethren, we are not to fear death anymore. Christ Jesus has defeated death. We will quickly read another scripture. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. From 51 to 58. I'm sorry, I'm taking too much of your time. 51 to 58. It reads, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Praise God. In Christ, we have victory over death. Even in this life, this corruptible body has the ability to change to an incorruptible body. Now, what is the problem? The problem is our minds. We have refused to believe the work that has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have refused to believe the gospel of the kingdom. And so we'll just close up by quickly going to Romans 12. For lack of time, I will do that. Romans 12. Verse 2. He said, "And be not conformed to this world. The thinking of the world must be dealt with in the life of the believer." The way the world thinks must be dealt with. so that our thinking will fall in line with the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the problem of man is that his mind hasn't been renewed. The mind of man, the believer, has not accepted the work that Christ Jesus has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And the gospel that he brought to us is meant to accomplish this work in our minds, to believe in what Christ has done, so that our thinking will be different from that of the world. Because when man's mind is renewed, the whole body is affected. The whole body is transformed. So God is calling on us to get out of the way of the thinking of the world. Our minds must be purged of the way the world thinks, and to believe in the word of God. Scriptures abound that say so. For lack of time, we will not go through some of them here. I said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God for you and I is for us to get back to the original before the fall. And that is the life that Jesus Christ restored unto us. Praise King Jesus. So the matter is that Jesus has accomplished his work, but the mind of the believer has not fully comprehended it. We must have this renewed mind to be able to have our whole body transformed. That is why, up till today, we cannot specifically point at somebody who is manifesting as the Son of God. But there are a lot of sons of God. We are inhibiting our own manifestation as sons. The time is now to manifest as sons of God. The time is now to live a perfect life on the earth. You and I are expected to live a perfect life today, not tomorrow. Our minds are renewed, brethren. We must have a renewed mind to be able to accomplish that which Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Praise God. So my heart's cry and my prayer is that we as believers must start to function as sons of God today, to walk on the surface of the earth perfectly as Christ has proposed in his heart. If you hear my voice today, harden not your heart. And I believe that we still have a great measure of hardness in our hearts. We would have believed more than we have done so far. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is the message in my heart, brethren, that we get our minds renewed and believe, even as we sang today, that we are complete in Him. We are actually complete in Him. The problem is the mind that must be renewed. And once my mind, your mind is renewed, the whole body will be transformed. I will function as sons of God in the earth. Praise the Lord, brethren.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brethren, I believe this is a word that we have for today, and I think we'll stick with this word, and we'll not add anything to it on insofar as another word, but let us respond to what we've heard today, and I think we will have a full cup if we each add what God is saying to us, along with what Brother Opie has said. You know, when he started off about the fear of death, my mind went to Revelation 12, and I am going to speak on overcoming maybe next week we'll start. But here is the verse, chapter 11, verse 11, I mean chapter 12, says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Now, when I was younger, I was still not loving my life unto death. There was a time that I would hold very strongly to try to preserve my life. And I believe that is a natural thing that God gives us, to hold on to our life. But the thing that we're talking about here is the fear of death. See, there's a third ingredient, okay? I'm well able, easily overcome by the blood, overcome by the word, okay? I can claim the blood of Jesus, okay? I can claim, and by the way, we're fighting against the accuser of the brethren, not just Satan himself, but Satan as the accuser of the brethren. And when he accuses you of your sins of the past, here's where you have to come back with the blood. No, the blood of Jesus has made me a new creature. And in believing that, we're saying that. It comes with our mouth. Now, the thing about loving not our life unto the death is this. If we can be manipulated by the fear of death, we can be, through that fear, brought to doing something that we would not ordinarily do. Let's say an evil man has come into your house. He puts a gun to your head and he says, "If you don't do thus and thus, I'm going to kill you." Well, it might not be something real bad. Okay, I can do it. If you don't walk over here, if you don't go over there, well, okay, I'll go over there. Eventually, we're manipulated into doing something that we absolutely should not do. Why did we do that? Because we are afraid of death. Now, who's that brother that we heard several times? He used to travel around the world, walking here and there. Henry Groover. Henry Groover. How many of you remember Henry Groover? Anyway, Henry Groover told one day that he was, I believe it was somewhere in London, in a real bad part of the city of London, and some evil men came, and I believe they had a gun, and they said to him, "You will do thus and thus." And his response was, "Or we will kill you." That's what they said. And to their surprise, Henry said, "Go ahead, I'm already a dead man." And the word that he gave so frightened them that they fled. In other words, make my day. I'm already dead. And it just totally frightened. Am I getting this right? Some of you heard this. And so when the devil comes and threatens you, you do this or this, or I'll kill you. What does it say in Colossians? Oh, yeah, you can't kill me, I'm already dead. That's what he said. And that word was so powerful, it frightened the men and they fled. Why, how can a man say I'm already dead? In other words, you have to taste of death one time, amen, in order to overcome death. Am I getting it right, Brother Opie? What does Colossians, what is it, chapter 3 says, let me get it right here. And this is the word the Lord gave me when I was on my way to the hospital. It's Colossians 3. It says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." In other words, you don't die if you're dead. It's the condition of the mind. Isn't that what I hear you say, Brother Opie? My
Yes,
mind
you're right.
says I am dead in Christ. But the next line says, your life, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So the first word is dead, and the next word is life.
Amen.
Dead to old flesh, life in Christ. So what the fear is not wanting to give up the old man, the old flesh, and this is very important, I think, if we're going to overcome. We're going to be talking about overcoming. We cannot overcome unless we are dead. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I'm not going to take the whole time here. Other people have a lot to share, but I want to share one more thing that came to me. And Brother Opie, well, one of the verses you read, part of that verse, or maybe the next verse, said that he would remove the curse. In other words, we would be free of death when the curse of death is removed. Where was that? In Isaiah? Do you remember where that was, Opie? I'm not saying it exactly the way it was.
Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25.
25. Yeah, let's pick that up again here. 25, because it says something about the curse being removed. 25:8. Okay, yeah, let's read that again. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off the faces. Oh, here it is. And the rebuke of his people, that's the curse. The rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. So I believe that word rebuke is the equivalent of a curse. And what he, we went back, brothers, started in the book of Genesis with the curse. You shall surely die if you eat of this fruit. And of course, Satan deceived Eve into thinking, well, you won't really die. He's just saying that. It doesn't mean that. Well, he did die. He died spiritually right then and there. I mean, he lost his place with God right there. And eventually, 900 years later, he did die in the flesh, in the natural. Yeah. Now, there's one other verse, and I'm going to quit because I want to hear from the rest of you. There's one other verse in Isaiah that comes to me. And Brother Opie, I'm thinking, the day is going to come when this curse of death is removed.
Amen.
Okay. Yes. The kingdom of God, the fullness of Christ, he is coming. We will be as sons of God. Amen. But there are some who will not partake of this. So let me read here in Isaiah 65. I believe it's 65. Well, let me find it again here. Oh, it's wiped out. The part about the old man dying at 100 years old, I thought it was at 65. I had it right here. I lost it. Well, let me put it in again. Anyway, here it is. Here it is. I have it. I have it. Let me start in verse 17. Okay, this is when we come into the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom. We might be saying the millennium, okay? For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever, and in that I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Now, this creating Jerusalem is not creating a city. It's a body of Christ. It's a people of God. Amen. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Amen. There shall be no more thence an infant of days. Okay. Baby's dying. Nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. In other words, he only lived to be 100. What a shame. Amen. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. So the curse will be only on the sinner, who will not live out his days. So we're talking about a time in the millennium. I don't know whether death is totally eliminated, but it's very much eliminated in what we read here. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So something has happened here to the curse of death. Okay, that's all that comes to me here, brother. Let's hear from some of the rest of us. As what do we get from Brother Opie's word here?
Well, last night, Brother Mark, I was thinking about this scripture about I've been crucified with Christ. It's in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was what I got out of it.
So crucifixion results in life.
Yes.
End result.
Amen.
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 But can we look at this scripture? Sorry, I should have just mentioned it before closing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Okay.
Can start from verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded their minds, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. You see, this is one of the major deceptive attitudes or methods that the enemy uses to cage the mind of the average believer. I believe that even now, according to 1 John 5, that we are sons of God, but we do not even know. Brethren, there is a work done in us. The mind is the problem. We are the sons of God. No one knows, even we do not know. But once our minds are renewed and the whole body is transformed, we will walk in it. Praise God.
A couple things that were coming to me. You know, our minds are so natural that even while we've been talking today and we're talking about death, our minds think of actual death, literal physical death.
Exactly.
When really, that's not the death we're talking about. It's being, Jesus one time made a statement, and I want to ask you, is this what he said? Did he say, pick up my cross and follow me? Is that what he said? Nope. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, he was saying there's something you need to die to. Okay. And the thing that we need to die to is the world. Well, actually, we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And brethren, I consider the world probably the most addictive substance that there ever was. You know, you talk about the addictions of man, whether it's alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever it might be. The most addictive source on this planet is the world. We're all tied to this world through our natural flesh and our natural minds and our natural bodies. And, you know, we have to overcome that. And when we're talking about being dead, you know, there's so many, even in the body of Christ, people get offended and all kinds of other things too, just like that. And when you're a dead man to the things of the world, you can't be offended. It's like, yeah, I'm in a different realm and you can't say something that's going to offend me. And so one of the first things that we need to die to, if we're really going to get anywhere spiritually, is this world. And it can be just the things like your work. We're not talking about necessarily sin now, although that's included too, but just the things of the world, you know, that we care about our jobs. We want to make money. We want to look nice. We want to all these different things that are just natural and normal. We can get above those things. And at the same time, we can still work. I mean, it said Jesus was a carpenter. I imagine he did carpentry work, and I imagine he got wages for it. But he was in another realm. And we can be in another realm too. You know, he was here and he was walking on this earth, but he was in another place at the same time. And he even said one time that where I am, there ye may be also. That's possible to all of us on this earth, that we can be in the spirit, walking in the spirit, dead to this world. What's it say? We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You know, I thought it was really a cute thing one time I heard, you know, there's some people on earth, I'm not going to actually say their name, you'll probably know who I'm talking about, but they have cut themselves off from the world, basically. They don't believe in electricity, and they ride around with horses, and, you know, but they ride around in a carriage pulled by a horse, drinking and getting drunk. So anyway, the cute little saying was that, you know, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. They're of the world, but not in it. I always got a big kick out of that one. Anyway, it is a possibility to be alive on this earth and be in that realm that Christ was in. That's what the goal is. And if we're going to get there, we're going to have to die to the things of this world. And Jesus one time said, taste, he said, taste and see that I am good. Until you experience that, you don't really know how good Jesus is and how good life in the spirit is. It's like, amen. if you're supposed to go on a diet, you can fool around and not really do it. And you're never going to experience the good things that come from being on a diet. You actually have to be on the diet to feel the change in your body. And that's the same way it is with Christ. You have to really be into Christ and into the Spirit to feel these things when he said, taste and see that I am good. Anyway, amen, brethren.
Amen.
Amen, Mike. You just took half my message for next week, but that's okay.
Sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. We need to hear it twice. Overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Well, what I got out of that, Mike, was that when Paul was speaking about being crucified, he was talking about being crucified with Christ means that we are no longer slaves of the world.
Yes, amen. I mean, it says you cannot serve God and mammon. There's an off, and mammon, you know, is just another word for money. And we have a very strong drive to serve money. You
yes,
know, we can make money, and it's okay. But we can't serve money and serve God at the same time.
Amen. Amen.
I just had one little memory come to my mind. There was a time in my life when I was kind of in a bad way, and I had a vision. And in this vision, I was in this bubble, this great big bubble, and all these people were poking at it, and their fingers would push the bubble in a ways, but none of them could get to me. No matter what they said, no matter what they thought, no matter what they did, it couldn't get to me. I was in this place of protection. And that's a place that we can be in Christ when we're really dead to this world.
Well, the fear of death. The fear of death is the thing that we really need to overcome. We can overcome by the blood and the word, but when we come to the point where we love not our life unto death, then the enemy can do nothing to us. What is the worst threat that he can ever give you? Oh, I'll withhold this, I'll withhold that. But the worst threat that he could ever give is I'll kill you. And that's the worst threat that a man could ever give you. Is you Amen. Do what I want or I'll kill you.
Amen.
Now, if you do that, he's going to get what he wants. If you obey him.
Well, remember, there's three things he's talking about in Revelation when he says, overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
The scripture that came to my mind, Mark, when you just said that was when Paul said about the world, I consider it all dung. You know, when you really have a hold of Christ, you realize what all this stuff of the world is. It's nothing but a bunch of dung.
Well, the mind has to be transformed, doesn't it? The renewing of the mind. You know, this is what brings sonship, is hearing the word the way it is meant to be understood. Because a lot of church is not bringing the word that we are bringing. And well, you say, well, what difference does it make? They're getting something from the word. Well, they are. But are they getting the word that they're going to need to overcome? Something is coming, brethren, that we have never seen before, and we have never had an opportunity to overcome it. If we're not in the place where we can overcome all things, this thing is going to roll us right over. I have a little something I want to read to you that I found. In fact, I think it was on the sunlight thing that comes out every day. Do most of you get that sunlight thing? I hope you do. Well, it was a couple days ago, I don't know, maybe a week ago, and I looked it up, and it's about a paragraph that's in the volume one of Revelation, and it says the time of sealing. Now, I'm going to read this paragraph to you. This is Brother DeCillo writing it. Says every Christian should understand that this is the time of sealing. Every Christian should know that God is now sealing people in their minds and in their hearts, and that there is a ministry of sealing. When we listen to a ministry that is not ordained of God to seal the church, then we will be automatically condemning ourselves to be foolish virgins. If we are involved in a body or a group that is not in the main line of what God is saying at this hour, we will be decreasing our chances. Amen. Of course, God is good enough to pour tribulation on us and to bring us in by tribulation, by suffering. Therefore, I am sure that many of us should be considering that we need to make sure we are listening to the right things and to the right people. Many voices are shouting from all directions, but your heart, your table of showbread is going to be feeding on Christ. And Christ in you will recognize the Christ in the speakers or the writers. This is the hour, and this is the time that if you miss this time, you might miss the coming of Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ. In the time of Jesus' first coming, all the Pharisees and the great men of the Bible were studying the Word, and they knew that at that time something should happen. When the wise men came, Herod called them and asked them where this Christ should be born. So Herod heard, but the people missed him, because the theologians of that time were telling them that Christ would come as a king, that he would come and put down the Roman Empire, and that he was going to give them deliverance and exalt the Jewish nation to rulership. It was the wrong concept, the right word with the wrong concept, leading the people in the wrong direction, and they missed him. They crucified him, and most of them did not know until after they had crucified him that he surely was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. To this day, they are still stumbling over the situation. They still do not know that they crucified their Messiah. So, yes, there is a ministry today of sealing, and it is the word that is sealing our minds. Our minds have to be transformed. Amen.
Amen.
You know, one of the songs that the Lord gave me a long time ago was about the scripture that in Psalm about talking about, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all they that trust in him." And, you know, it's saying that we have everything in him when we trust in him and are no longer afraid.
Yes, amen.
But in that, we need to hearken to the voice of the Lord, to observe and do all his commandments. We need to hearken to him. We need to listen to him and do what he's telling us to do. That's why this word is good today. It's a word that is wanting us to listen to the Lord and to get the thing that he's giving it to us daily, yearly, monthly. Every time he speaks to us. Thank you, Lord.
The table of showbread is where we are feeding on the word. We are feeding on the word of Christ. We are feeding on Christ.
That's the Lord.
Well, does anybody have anything else to add to this? Okay, well, I believe that we'll go with this word then today.
Amen.
This will be a sufficient word.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Well, let me turn the recording off then.